So you a barber, you a therapist, you connecting with that person, you actually having a genuine relationship with them. That's a real, you know, that's real help to somebody.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Today, we have Nigel Cruz, a.k.a. Nigel the Barber, a barber at Hemi's Barbershop here in Lebanon, PA. Nigel, welcome to episode 93 of the American Grown Podcast.
What's going on, man? How you been?
Good. I've been doing well. That's what's up, man. Yeah, I miss coming to get my, you know, get my cuts, really.
Yeah, man. It's good. It's good to see you and catch up with you, though.
You know, the Lord blessed me with the Mr. Clean look, so it is what it is.
You know? Rock it proudly, brother.
You got to. Yeah, yeah. But that was, I mean, I first met you when I was going to Ty the Barber.
Yeah.
On Cumberland Street.
Yeah, it's when we opened up our own shop. We had a location on 3rd and Cumberland. It was a lifestyle barbershop. Yeah. We had that going on for like COVID time. We opened it up around COVID time, around like right before COVID started. And we kind of survived a little bit of COVID. It kind of really messed us up, but you know, we back alley haircuts, you know, you come through the back door.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Little I remember. Yeah, yeah, right. It was a nice setup too. I mean, yeah, it was.
Yeah, we had that nice industrial look.
You yeah.
Know? That like modern brick wall, metal pipes.
It was awesome. Hardwood
floor. It was a great look, shit.
It was, for real. I always remember that big flat screen TV in the back. And Ty was cutting my hair the one day when I had hair. This goes back a little bit, people. And the beard. I still had the beard. He was shaping that up for me. And he had something, a horror movie. I don't know if you remember this. It was like The Heritage or something. And oh, I yeah. hate horror movies. No. Oh, I hated it.
You know, crazy, me too, man. I'm not, yeah? not a fan of them.
Yeah.
I watch them, but. Never really got entertained.
Yeah, no, I couldn't take it. I'm like, Ty, what is this crap on? You know, put something good on, you know.
Put some action on.
Put some action on. Put some music on. But yeah, that's how we first met.
Yeah, definitely in the shop, man, getting to it. You know, cutting hair. Hey, that's where you build relationships, man.
Exactly. You know? It's yeah.
That's where I could say men, you know what I'm saying? Like
please,
kids,
yeah.
you know. They, yeah. That's where they come and they actually like feel free to talk, chill, be themselves.
Yeah.
You know, talk about sports, talk about their life. You know, it's a good thing in a barbershop.
Oh, it is, for sure. It's like a brotherhood, I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely.
You get close with your barber and then the people that come in there. It's like a family kind of thing, I think.
It's the most genuine you could probably have a relationship with someone. You know what I'm saying?
That ain't your girl or something.
Yeah, yeah,
I would
sure.
say.
You
yeah.
trust that person. That's the next 2 weeks of your life, you know?
Right.
You're going to get clowned on or you're going to get, you know, girls looking at you or
right.
feeling spicy. You know what I'm saying?
100%. A haircut or a beard trim. To me, it's just like when you get a new pair of shoes, you know, a new pair of sneakers or something, you just feel good, you look good, and you know it, right? You got some swagger to you. That's yeah, how I feel. That's how I feel.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing like a fresh outfit.
Exactly. Oh, 100%.
Nothing like a fresh outfit.
There you go. Let's start off, Nigel. Like, you were born and raised here in Lebanon, PA. What was your early childhood like?
My early childhood, let's say, like, you know, as a child, I was a lot outside a lot. You know, we back in the day, you didn't have these phones. Technology wasn't the same, so I grew up a kid that was always outside. But my childhood was real great, real close with my family, my cousins. I can say my bond was really with my cousins. Grew up with mostly just them. Yeah, man, shoot.
When you say playing outside, because you're right, nowadays, kids, that's all they got, smartphones, tablets. So what do you used to do for, like, fun? What was your go-to?
I mean, all my family grew up in Spruce Park, so we used to make the baseball field, either if we were playing baseball, we was 32 kids deep playing baseball, football in the fields. We also used to do some messed up stuff, you know.
All right, now you gotta share.
Being kids,
yeah.
There was this cornfield behind Spruce Park. Everybody know that, like right by like the left side of Spruce Park. There was a cornfield.
Yeah.
And you know, like you know when corn comes around, you know you eat it with like. Dinners and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
oh yeah.
Have fun with it.
Oh yeah, grilled corn. Oh yeah, corn on the cob. Butter. Yeah.
We used to steal their corn.
What?
At one point, okay. We used to take like a whole section. Bro, I mean, we was destroying that cornfield. We would go in the middle, like eight of us, like me and my cousins.
Picking corn. Yeah.
That's how we had to do it, you know? Sometimes, hey, look, we know what it is to skip a meal sometimes, so.
Yeah. So that's some of what you do for fun. You just played sports. You just
played sports.
You were outside.
Kickball.
Yeah.
Handball. Manhunt? Yo, Manhunt was mad crazy.
Now, what's Manhunt? Remind me of that.
That's like Jailbreak. You ever play Jailbreak? You get two teams, pick a base, and then you have the team that's like playing tag and the team that's like running from them.
Okay.
And you got to catch all of them.
I got you.
And then if you got one person can go and like, you got to say a phrase and be like, jailbreak, and everybody run out.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah,
okay.
So we used to play that. Spruce Park was always divided in like half. So we play right side, left side. And then the base would probably be like closer to each other so that it'd be harder to run away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it was lit.
That's awesome. Because we're about the same age. We're 32, exactly.
Yeah. Jailbreak was more of the name like, so from like my understanding, my cousins, when they came from New York and they told me that game, it was called Manhunt. Out here is called Jailbreak. So it's same game, just different name.
Yeah, and I bet if you ask like kids in middle school, high school, they probably have no clue what that is.
Yeah, not right now.
No.
Nowadays, I don't even know what it is to be outside.
Yeah, what is outside?
What is outside? Like, exactly. Mom, I need my tablet. You know, if it ain't connected to Wi-Fi, it's up.
Yeah.
Kids is tearing things up.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think about like how different it is because like, we're not that old, but things have changed so much. Technology has like advanced so much. AI, and it's just like it's taken over your whole life. Now, I think now some of the high schools even give the kids
it's all technology.
Yeah,
bro.
Tablets and
you
laptops.
Get a tablet from when you start school to the end.
Yeah,
everything they do is on a freaking projector. Like, man, it's crazy.
What's up with that? Because when we were in school, you had to carry at least five books. Your bag was broken.
You had to go into the locker and change every book out for every class.
Do you remember that?
Because you had like six folders.
Right.
Bro, like what?
Yeah, the anxiety of like, you don't want to miss the class.
That's how some of my friends became my friends because y'all be like, yo, I'm going to use your locker. We share.
Yeah.
And you ain't, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to just run from building to building.
Right, exactly.
Especially in the high school, it's a three-ring circus. You know what I'm saying?
That's so right. Like, 11 and high. Yeah, yeah. Well, you find somebody that's right on the way.
Yeah, you got to go through the buildings. What is it? L, G, A, right? Yeah, I think so.
That I wouldn't know, yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah.
The L building, the auditorium, the A building, and the gym. Yeah, the gymnasium. Yeah.
Gymnasium, okay. So what was, let's talk about 11 high school, right? That's my next question. Like, high school life, what'd you like to do in high school? Were you into sports, music, theater?
High school, I mean, 11 and high was crazy. I ain't gonna lie.
In what way?
It was wicked. Kids was wild.
Fights or
just fights every day?
Yeah.
Everybody had a situation. Anybody, if it's 9 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of kids and they all mad trying to not go to school, shoot, you're gonna have a lot of situations. I mean, school was crazy. We had I'm gonna be honest here, like literally a fight every day. I wouldn't go a week. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like it was common.
But some stuff was probably pretty like petty, like small stuff.
Yeah. Oh man, you know the girls typical. You took my man, or you know what I'm saying? I'm typical Jones. I'm little.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, man. And then it was real. I mean, school was loud. You know, back then we didn't have a dress code, so it's sad. But we used to pick on the kids that they didn't have nice clothes. You know, but bullying was, like, big back then.
I feel like it definitely was, yeah.
It wasn't bullying, you know? It was actually building character. If you hang with your boys that you was going to school with, like, every day, you had mad, like, what is it, like, roast sessions. Like, yo, we used to just clown each other.
You're good buddies,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't clowning each other, you ain't really love each other.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they don't care about nothing.
No, it's crazy.
Back in the day, shoot, like, majority of the time, everybody wore, like, colors. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was weird. I mean, a lot of the schools, a lot of Lebanon had, like, Pink Panthers and like, Solo Soldiers. They all had, like, little gangs. And little
really?
It was, like, little things back in the day.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy.
I never knew this.
Their own little gang. A group of people would be, like, their own little tribe.
So, like, all right, real quick. Like, what's, like, a Pink Panther?
They used to just rock pink.
Oh. All right, I got you. Okay. Yeah.
It was a group of guys, you know. You know what I'm saying? They call themselves the Pink Panthers or something like that. I don't know. It was crazy.
And what was the other one? Toy Soldiers?
Solo Soldiers.
Solo Soldiers.
Like, yeah. It was a couple. They would branch off from, like, I don't know where.
That's wild to think about. Like, a little gang in the school.
Yeah. I mean, there was real gangs in Lebanon. I ain't gonna lie. Like, we saw, if you really knew, you saw the gang shit. If you really knew what was going on, you understood it. But
yeah.
there was also that just the regular school kids, you know, that went to school, do what they had to do.
Yeah.
But there's always two lives or something.
Right, yeah, exactly. And they say, what, there's three sides to every story.
Yeah.
Your side, my side, and the truth, you know. Yeah. So would you say, like, going through high school, were you just trying to get through, get good grades, or were you...
Nah, I was a mischief child.
Were you?
Yeah, quietly.
Like what?
I would get in trouble. Like, I'm a bad person with someone, having to deal with somebody being my boss. Like, I don't do good with that. I never did. I don't know why. Just, but I gave a lot of attitude back to the teachers. You know, if I didn't like you, I definitely gave you attitude.
Yeah.
But
the ones you liked, you probably...
Yeah, the ones I was cool with. Yeah, class was class, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't really pay attention to a lot of class. I wasn't one of those kids that was like deep into... If I had a C or a B, I was cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was one of those kids.
Right.
An average student kid. I didn't try to achieve a lot in school. Because I didn't pay attention to a lot of the teachers.
Well, that's it. And it's like, you got to like, you know, what you're learning.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think about. I remember, you know, like math class. I was never good at math. And I just remember, I can't remember teachers' names, but it was always like, well, you're not going to have a calculator in your pocket. You're not going to have a computer in your pocket. You can't just look stuff up. And now here you are in 2024.
Yeah, your phone got more than anything in there. You got a ruler in your phone.
Yeah, phones are more powerful than your computers and laptops. Yeah. It's like, you can look everything up there. It's crazy. So, in high school, you get, you like, when you graduated, what was the plan after high school? What were you thinking?
I definitely had to just get to the money, man. Like, I wanted to do something that I was, like, on my own. I didn't really have to. Like, I didn't, like I said, working for somebody to make them rich wasn't my idea. So, I started cutting at a young age, too. So, it kind of, like, went hand in hand with what I was going to do in life. Figured it out kind of early. I ain't gonna lie, my plans was like, you know, hey, I'm gonna get a car and I'm gonna get a house and I'm gonna be on my own. But everybody goes through the trials and tribulations, you fall, you get back up. My plans was just to be great, you know, just be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I actually became that, you know?
Yeah. You're doing your own thing. And
yeah, doing my own thing.
You're your own boss.
My plan was just to not have somebody be my boss. I mean, in a sense, you know?
And that was with you, like, your whole childhood, all through high school, like you said. You didn't, some teachers you didn't like because you didn't like that authority.
I mean, my teachers, like I said, if I was cool with teachers, it was cool.
Yeah.
Like, I had a couple teachers that, in science class, I don't know why, but I liked the science class. I would try to blow stuff up.
No wonder
like,
you liked it.
Yeah, like, my teacher would, like, show me different type of chemicals. Like, yo, if you mix that... Don't do that, because you're going to do something.
And
like,
you really? Do it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I get to do this? Oh, hell yeah, let's do this. I think that's why I kind of, like I said, I wasn't one of those students that went through class enjoying things. There was classes that, like, I didn't like. So science was definitely, you know, hey, yo, I get to play with some chemicals. Yeah, let's do this. It's up.
Gosh.
And then math was good. I had a couple teachers. The teachers was cool. Like, I ain't going to lie. Some teachers, they was cool.
Is there one or two that you would shout out?
Yeah, Mr. Sanchez, yo, he's that guy.
Yeah, okay.
He was cool. And Mr., what is his name? I be seeing him now outside, damn. Basketball coach.
Jesus Christ. He just retired, or like, are you talking about him, the basketball coach for Lebanon?
I think so, yeah.
God.
They had brothers. Oh, they were teachers. God. I mean, I forgot their names.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
It's hard, man.
Yeah, it's getting old.
Yeah, they were both math teachers. They were brothers. They were cool. And it was crazy. Like, more of the teachers that I was cool with was the teachers that I didn't have class with.
I got you.
I skipped a lot of class.
Yeah.
I did.
Did you?
I skipped a lot of class, bro. I was one of them kids. That's why I said I'm one of them kids that I didn't take advantage of the school system like I should have, being honest. You know what I'm saying? As a man, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't take advantage of the school system. You know what I'm saying? I parlayed and... I mean, I didn't parlay. I partied and played a lot, you know?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, like, why would you skip school? Just because you were just wanted to party, you play video games, and, like, hang out? Or
yeah,
what?
We were chilling. Yeah. Me and my cousin. One time, me and my cousin, my cousin. We went to New York with his mom's car. We just broke out.
No skip school. Way. Are you serious?
Yeah, we just skipped school and just took the car. She called us midday, and she's like, where y'all at? We on our way back home. Where y'all was at? Don't worry about it. We got you a pair of sneakers.
That's wild.
Yo, yeah, we used to dip, bro. Wild. My cousin used to dip. We used to just take the car and bounce.
Yeah. Real quick, the coach for basketball, was that Spearall?
Yeah,
Timmy Spearall. Timmy Spearall, right? I knew I'd come up with it.
The older one was kind of like corny, but the younger one, Tim, he was cool. He was where he was at.
Yeah.
He had the comb, like comb up. He had that little.
Did he?
Yeah, that little flip up here. He was cool dude, man. Cool dude.
Yeah, for sure. Let's take a sip break. I'm with you.
Got me drinking some nice bourbon. Right?
Well, this is Conor McGregor's Proper 12. Yeah. It's Irish whiskey.
Irish whiskey.
Yeah, similar. Nice. But yeah, I like it. It's just my go-to if I had to pick something. So let me ask this. When would you say you became a barber? Like what led you to, hey, I want to cut hair. I want to trim beards. I want to make people look good, feel good.
All right. So like the first time I really picked up a pair of clippers, I was like 12, 13.
Really? Yeah. That young?
Yeah, I was young.
Okay.
I don't know, I was pretty young.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot. The first time I got arrested, I was 11, bro.
Now.
Yeah. Like
you got arrested
at 11? Yeah, I was arrested at 11.
Why? Can I ask why?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Again, being with my cousins, we were wilding. Spruce Park was like the time for us to just be alive, bro. So with my cousins, we were in Spruce Park, and it was like, I'm going to say like fall time, and it got dark early.
Okay.
So we were chilling outside, and we were daring. So my cousin, I have a cousin who came from DR, and he was a lot more mature. His mindset, you know, a bit older, his mindset was more mature. So his like fun was like doing things that were bad and illegal.
Yeah.
So
he walked the line.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He introduced us to the streets.
I got you. Yeah.
So I was 11, like probably 12, 11 and 12, between there. But it was Park. It was a group of us, my cousins, and you ever heard of the theory, like when you put a car, when you start a car, but it has something blocking the muffler that it backfires, okay, and it makes a real loud bang, and it blows your muffler out.
I can picture
it. Like explodes it open.
Okay.
So
I never seen it, but
I never seen it either. So we were curious. We like, hold up, if that really happens, why not try it?
Right. You know? Yeah, we got to prove the theory.
It's prove the theory.
Yeah.
So we started putting potatoes, like fucking big ass, brolic potatoes in mufflers.
Shoving in mufflers.
Bro. We only heard two backfire, but we got caught that same night. Like,
really?
Yeah. The cop pulled up right on us, bro.
So what'd he say when he pulled up?
Arrested us. And then he told us that that's like a deadly assassin thing.
Really? Like that's dead serious. Oh, yeah, wow.
Like happens, I heard, is
what
he explained is he said the potato blows in half and the half of the potato can stay stuck in the muffler. We didn't know that would happen. We just thought that it would explode out.
Yeah. Right. You think it would just shoot out like a rocket or something.
Yeah. We was like, all right, cool. We wanted to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So take me through that. Like, so
yeah, we got in trouble. We got arrested.
He cuffed you and everything?
Yeah. My parents had to come. And he left it. He didn't like, we didn't go to the precinct. Like, he arrested us. He's like, you got the summons. We had to go to court after. But the night that we got arrested, we were just all in handcuffs. It was like six of us.
Holy shit.
Yeah, bro. All my cousins. All of them. Yeah.
You ran deep. Six is a good crowd. Yeah,
he was always deep.
Yeah.
I mean, my family is huge. Everybody say out here, like, yo, Nigel got a big-ass family.
Yeah.
We do. We got a huge family. We came out here from New York with, I think, like, half of, like, Menaham and, like, Knickerbocker itself.
Wait, so you're born in Lebanon?
Yeah, born
in Lebanon. Most of
family. All my family's from New York.
Oh, wow.
Majority of it, yeah. NPR. Like, my dad's Dominican, but he was born in the States, like, California, I think. But his Dominican family, they kind of all moved to New York.
That's crazy. That's wild. Wow.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, so he got arrested.
At 11.
That's the first on the podcast.
It's the first that I, you know, so, I didn't expect it. You know, again, being a child, being...
Yeah, curious. Least,
yeah,
really.
Curiosity kills the cat, bro.
Yeah, that's for sure. Then, like you said, around 13 or so, you start, like, cutting hair and stuff, like... Walk me through that. How'd you get your first pair of scissors?
So my first pair of clippers, my dad had a pair of clippers. He had them sitting in the bathroom for mad long. You know, just ones that he would use for himself. And I'm like, yo, dad, you don't do nothing with these. Let me use these. And I started grabbing all the little kids on the block, like where I lived at, and was like, yo, I'll give you a $5 haircut.
Right.
it ain't gonna be the best, but it's gonna be $5 haircut.
I love it. Yeah, yeah.
And then my what really kind of stopped me from I started around like 11 to 12. More than 12, I picked up the clippers. I started around that time. My mom stopped me from cutting hair around like 13-ish because she got tired of me cutting on her porch.
Really?
And she was like, you need to do something. Like, you got to figure this out. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I'm 13. I'm like, I'll cut in the basement. I'll clean the basement out and I'll move everything around. And she was like, all right, but they got to only come after I get out of work.
Okay.
So and it was the summertime when I kind of started like learning and stuff.
Yeah.
Like summer of like 12 years old. And then I stood consistent probably from like 12 to like 16, I would say consistent. And I didn't tell nobody. I just kept cutting the young kids on the block, you know, people that I knew. At that time, I was in a relationship with a girl, my son's mom. Her name is Taisha. She's cool as hell. And her cousins also became like my test dummies, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, chopping city. Yeah. It was learning, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, they weren't bad. They weren't bad
haircuts. You got to start somewhere,
like, yeah, by 13, 14, I started getting a little better. So, like, by 15, I think that was when I got in a relationship, like, when I started with her and her cousin started trusting me to cut their hair. So, yeah, I think it was, like, from that time, I was a little better.
Okay.
I was at a point where I was, like, all right, this is a decent haircut. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was only charging at that time, I think, like, $10 still. You know, I was making my money, but at the same time, practicing my skill.
Right, right. You knew you were practicing, so you weren't, like, charging 40, 50.
Yeah, nah, I wasn't doing the regular prices there, now. Yeah, wasn't at this. Yeah. At this level, no, I'm not. I wasn't there.
Right, I got you.
It was a beautiful learning at that age and having, you know, to do it, because I used to get chopped up at the barbershop. That's mainly why every barber picks up a pair of clippers. They get chopped up one time bad, and they're like, yeah, I
got
to change
this. I got you a bad cut.
Yeah, like, okay. We got a bad cut. Like, yo, I got to change. I got to do something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm not going to let this guy keep chopping me
Oh,
up.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Once you have a bad experience at a barbershop or any, you know, you're out. Like, if you go to a restaurant and the service is bad or the food's
you're not going
to
go to that
chances
restaurant.
Are you ain't going to go back. Or at least you give it a couple weeks or months till you go back. Maybe try it in the new year or something. So I got you. So that's what happened to you. You got a bad cut, you said?
Yeah, I got a real bad cut one time.
And was it a bowl cut?
No, I had long hair a lot of my life. Surprisingly, I had long hair and I'm bald now. But yeah, I had a...
Did you really? You had long hair?
I had long hair to my butt, bro.
What?
Yeah, my whole family did.
You got a picture on your phone sometime?
I do, actually. I'll show you after this.
Show them when we're done. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was freaking long.
That's crazy.
Bro, I had longer hair than some of the girls in the school. Like, I'm telling you, Levin was a character.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. So you work your way up. Like, 13, 15, you're getting a little better. Where was your first, like... I don't want to say real job. Where was your first, like... Real barber, like where were you cutting? Where was your first spot you're cutting at? I think it's a proper way to say it.
My first spot was Hemi's Barbershop.
No shit, was it really?
Yeah, yeah. When I first saw, I mean, just to backtrack real quick.
Uh-huh.
From when I was cutting in basement, I was cutting all that time. Then I started working at 14. So at 14, my dad built like a shed in the back of his crib. And I would cut out of that for a little bit, but it was too hot.
I was going to see you
like
sweating.
The metal, we was sweating. Yeah. I had like the fan,
yeah,
but it was crazy.
It didn't matter.
You know what I'm saying? It just didn't matter. Yeah. But yo, so after that, boom, by like, I want to say like 19, right after high school, I was cutting in the back of, at that time I lived with my girlfriend's family at that time. My son was about to be born, but I was at the balcony. We used to cut on the balcony. She had a balcony at her room. And that's where I used to cut at for mad long. But the first place I went to was Hemi's. Yeah. And they kind of didn't want to give me an opportunity because of my brother. But they cool. They love me. Because
was your brother already cutting there? Or?
Nah, he had a bad gig with them one time. Left them high and dry.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Right. So it was like a bad taste in their mouth. Like, we're not going to go with this Nigel Cruz guy.
But nah, they love me now. They're my peoples.
I was going to say, that segues into like, all right, Hemi's, as far as I know, is like a staple for barbershops here in Lebanon, here in, you know, downtown Lebanon, located on Walnut Street, just down from Good Samaritan Hospital.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, tell me, like, when you go into Hemi's, what's the atmosphere? What are people doing? What's it like? What's the vibe of Hemi's?
Oh, beautiful vibe, man. It's real respectful. You come in, everybody greets you. Everybody's saying hi. We're not a rude bunch of people. We are busy people, you know? I ain't gonna lie, we get busy. You know? Be aware that we are busy. But yeah, it's a great vibe. Everybody's high. Everybody says hello. You know what I'm saying? Good energy. Everybody's respectful.
I love it.
It's a place where a woman can actually come and feel comfortable because nobody's down her neck trying to holler at her. Nobody's trying to make her feel some kind of crazy way. Yeah, we have a female who does a hair upstairs as well. Her name is Samantha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out Samantha.
Yeah, words. She's nice. Yeah, she does everything. Eyebrows, all that.
Okay. So she has her own, like, setup upstairs?
Yeah. I mean, she does more of, like, the girl, you know, the female, the one that wants to do her hair and makeup. You know, she does more of that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
How many chairs are downstairs, roughly?
Right now, there's six chairs.
Six chairs? Yep. Okay. And you're one of them. Where are you at? Like, if I walked in the front door, do I go left or right or where?
So you walk in, there's two sides. You walk in, there's your right-hand side, and then there's your left side. I'm on the left side. Third one in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's crazy that you got your start there. You got your start at Himmy's. Then you went with Ty? Is that how that worked?
I started with Himmy's. I think I lasted with them probably 3 years before Ty started working there. If I'm not mistaken, probably like roughly 3 years.
Okay.
And then when Ty got there, he worked there probably for like maybe a year and a half that he worked there until we decided to leave. It might be even longer, but I'm not perfect.
I won't hold you to it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's when we decided we had an opportunity and we just jumped on it. You know what I'm saying? Being young and
why not? Not yeah.
And like entered, how you say, like positive energy. We're like, yo, you know, this is an opportunity. Let's jump on it. You know, we're not scared. I'm not scared. You're not scared. Let's do it.
Yeah. Gotcha. So boom. So you're back in Himmy's. Doing well there. Now, from my understanding, you're a father of two. Like, I'm a father of two.
Yes, father of two. My son is a character. My son.
How old is he now?
He's 13.
Damn, he's 13.
Yeah.
And this is the young boy I would see.
Young boy that would come down the steps.
He's 13 now.
Yeah, he had the T-shirt to his belly and underwears with some slippers on. Yeah, that's him.
Asking about playing the video games or something. I forget what it was the one time. But
yeah.
Wow, 13.
Man, that kid, bro.
A teenager. Holy shit.
I get more time with my son. Me and my daughter, we really don't get to see each other too much. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. My son is more who I spend more time with. He's a trip, man. He's me to the max and then like a little extra. That boy, man, he's a...
Yeah.
Character.
Yeah.
Character. Love him. Love him to death. I mean, I love my daughter, you know what I'm saying, no matter what, but my son, he's a character. He puts a smile on my face no matter what.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what would you say, like, fatherhood is like for you? Like, how would you describe fatherhood?
I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it changed me. I mean, it saved me. It changed me. I put a better head on my shoulders, you know what I'm saying? It made me become a better man. You know, it calmed me down. It really calmed me down. It
got you to like focus on
doing what I had to do.
Yeah.
As a father.
Yeah. It's a big it's very rewarding, like, to see them grow up and the milestones, but at the same time it's like, man, it changes everything, you know?
Yeah.
You can't go out and just be like, hey,
yeah,
I'm
you
going.
Definitely have to change your lifestyle.
Yeah, change your lifestyle 100%. It's like, it's just wild, but it's worth it, anybody.
I wouldn't take back them steps at all. Maybe the aging, because I had my kids young, but definitely not the experience of being a father. Just the timing, because, you know, you learn lessons as you grow up, you know, as you should. You learn lessons.
Right. Dude, you're like perfect. That teed me up. So you like put the ball on the tee, and I'm about to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, bro.
So next question. Like, what are some life lessons that you've learned that you feel like others could benefit from, whether it's fatherhood, whether it's a career, working for yourself? Like, what are some life lessons that you've learned and gone through?
Just follow your goals. Always, you know, chin up, chest out, follow your goals, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As a father, you know, it kind of kicks in. You know what you kind of got to do. You got to provide. You got to work. You got to show. If you have a son, you got to show him to be a better man. If you have a daughter, you got to show her to be a better woman, you know?
Yeah.
You got to just be there, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you go through trials and tribulations, but being there, man,
that's half the battle, right?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. Now, would you say there's any mentors that have helped you along the way?
I mean, my mom and my dad, you know,
yeah.
My brothers, they had kids. Everybody had kids young enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And my family. So yeah, they're just them going through the life itself, you know, them raising a kid. They had a lot of feedback. They had a lot of opinions, you know what I'm saying? They had a lot of those. They had a lot of pointers that you could use for guidance, you know what I'm saying? But my mother and my father is a lot of, like, I question them for, you know, everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You confide it. Confide in them.
Definitely.
So, like, what they used to do? What do they do? Like,
My mother and my father, my mother used to work in a warehouse for a long time. And then she just, not recently, but, like, you know, just recently in the past couple of years, she works for my grandmother now.
Okay.
She's like a home take care.
Yeah. Home care kind of thing. Yeah.
And then my father still works in the warehouse, but he's about to retire.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that taking care of, like, your elders, you know, like, that's doing God's work right there.
Cause, definitely, man, you know, because
once
they get elders, like, and plus you soak in as much information, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Get connected to your roots.
Right.
People, get connected to your roots.
Because once they're gone, like.
Yeah, you ain't got ancestors that you can't talk about the things that they know.
Yeah, you know lose all that knowledge. Yeah, and it's like, especially the youth, like you said, playing on the video games and the iPad and the iPhone, like. You don't realize, like, your grandparents, man, you should try to spend as much time with them as you can, because once they're gone, you lose so much, like, knowledge of the past, or, like, what your family, like, you know, what they did for fun back then, and, you know, like, recipes of food and stuff, you know, it's,
yeah. You lose a lot. That's why I say, you know, just get connected to your ancestors, bro, for real, just being connected, because you lose so much.
Yeah, it's all about
like
family.
I said, you, just imagine, we 32,
yes.
Our grandparents is like, what, 80, 70,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, between 70 and 80.
Right.
Imagine the history they have between our families, between what happened outside that we don't know. That we don't know what, you know, night from day, we don't know it, so.
Imagine what they went through, what lessons we can learn from them.
Oh, yeah, mad lessons. That's where I learned a lot of, like, Spanish people give you remedies. They give you remedies throughout your whole life.
Okay.
Fixing, freaking. They rub you down with Vicks.
Vicks on the
put honey. Take a shot of whiskey when you have a sore throat.
Yeah.
With honey, you know what I'm saying? Like when you got a fever, you take a shot of whiskey. It's crazy. Like there's different things.
Yeah.
But it's always good to know those because of they worked back in the day.
Oh yeah.
And then it came from the ancestors learning things like that.
Right. It got passed down and passed down. I remember being a kid when I was sick. That's my dad. He'd rub Vicks on. This one I was like little, you know.
Yeah.
Now I just get my own and put the Vicks on. But like. That thing would open you up next morning. You know, put that on, put a white t-shirt on, go to bed. You got a cold, your nose stuffy.
You snotted it all out.
Yeah, wake up next morning, boom, you're good to go.
Yeah.
That's home remedies are the way to go.
Yeah.
I like that. A shot of, what do you say?
Tell me like, a shot. So you would take like a shot of whiskey and honey and it would like, chest congestion, it would just clear it all out.
Yeah.
Or and lime, I think it was, I don't know, lime or something like that.
Okay.
But yo, you do that. You wake up one day and you feel congested.
Yeah,
take that.
Do that.
That joint gonna knock it right out.
I like it. I'm with it. Yeah. So now, Nigel, what would you say you're most passionate about in life?
I mean, like right now, just cutting hair and being with my kids. I'm passionate about my art because cutting hair is an art. It's a craft. It's taking me places. It's opening doors for me. It's doing things for me. And then passionate about my kids because they my lifeline. Yeah, bro.
They're your bloodline, man. The future is the kids, man. That's how I feel. It's like,
and trying to give back to the youth. I've been trying to get connected more with like God, you know, being connected, more connected to Him. I'm trying to connect with the youth too. So like, I be trying to give to kids that have less fortune. You know what I'm saying? Going through trials and tribulations wherever I catch them. You know.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think. We were talking off air. You mentioned Himmies is doing something for back to school.
Yeah. We're on the 25th. We're gonna be cutting hair for all the kids, whoever wants to come. I believe it's 10 to 6. I mean, we're probably gonna be there later, but we definitely cutting all kids. Everybody, whoever want to get cut, come get cut. We're gonna be cutting y'all. Everybody and anybody.
Anybody and everybody can get it, you
know? Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Fading everyone.
I like it. So real quick, like, what would you say, like, motivates you every day?
What motivates me is definitely, I mean, also my kids. Yeah. My kids, yeah, definitely, because, you know, again, they're not old enough to provide for themselves, so, you know, that for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, just... The grind, the how you say that, the ambition to want to constantly put a smile on somebody's face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
being able, you know, as a barber, you somebody's like therapist, you know? So
you talk about that.
Not every day you can go and take off and be like, oh, I'm just only cutting hair. So you a barber, you a therapist, you connecting with that person, you're actually having a genuine relationship with them. That's a real, you know, that's real help to somebody. And you actually get to put a smile on their face. You know what I'm saying? Like, you actually get to make them feel good. You, relieve them of stress. You know, they come in, somebody comes in, they mad.
Yeah.
I don't know how many clients we have that where they're mad and they have a conversation with us and then they feel better. Like, yo, man, guidance, you know, some type of just anybody's opinion helps. So it's a beautiful thing, man. I mean, that's, I love doing it. I don't know. I think that's my, like, zen. I find peace there. If I'm angry and I got a situation going on, I'll go to the shop and just cut hair. Yeah. I'll call somebody. I'm like, you need a haircut?
Get in here.
Like, I know you need it. It's been like 3 weeks. I know you need a haircut.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it puts me in a better place sometimes. It puts me at ease.
Yeah. And then you're checking in on those people, too, to be like, hey, you know, what's going on in your life? Or like, talk to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Because what would you say? The average haircut's probably like, what, 30 minutes maybe? I don't know.
45? You can get a haircut, like real good haircut, 30 minutes to 45 minutes, you know, a good hour sometimes if you're having a real genuine conversation with somebody, you know.
That's what I'm saying,
So, yeah, you can go up to an hour and just actually, if you actually listening and how you say, relating to everything and then actually like giving your opinion back, man, those kind of be the best haircuts, man. Those be the best connections you can have with anybody.
Oh, 100%. You're in the moment. You're both in the moment. You're bonding. You're talking. You're going through life's problems or situations, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny. I say sometimes, too, now this, your episode 93, so I've had roughly 93 guests before you. Some of them are two-part episodes, but, like, I said, that's kind of how the podcast is. Like, I have people come on. Some people I know. Some people I don't know. I get to learn about them, but it gives them a chance to, like, get stuff off their chest, and they get to talk about life and, you know, what they've been through. And it's kind of like a, almost like therapy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. This is the stress reliever right here.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We're drinking some good
whiskey. We're chilling on some nice whiskey, talking, enjoying time.
Exactly. So now, let me ask you this. How can our listeners connect with you and follow along on your journey? Like, social media, what's your handles and stuff like that?
So on IG, I go as Nigel the Barber, but the way I spell it.
Yeah, you spell it different.
Is... And okay, so Nigel is N-I-G-E-L. The is all, it's all together, sorry. So it's Nigel, N-I-G-E-L, T-H-E-B-V-R-B-E-R.
Okay, so I got to ask you, before you shout out the other handles and stuff, what's with the V?
Listen.
I got to ask, because you have it Ty, in Ty.
Yeah, me and Ty did it back in the day, and we kept it. I knew I kept it. I mean, I'm pretty sure he kept it. But yeah,
he did.
It was something. He was like, yo, man, why don't we just be different? And I'm like, well, this is like right when we're opening up the barbershop, right when we're getting ready to stand out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So he was like, yo, let's be different. Like, everybody has B-A-R or Duh Barber or...
right.
I'm like, yeah, you're right. He's like, so let's put our names... And then the actual word, the, and then barber, we put with a V. I'm like, it looks dope.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
I always thought so.
It makes you like, you think you, it makes you double look at the name.
Double take. You're like,
hold on. It says barber, but it doesn't say barber.
Yeah.
Like, so it makes you look at it without you even noticing. You're going to have to continue to look at
it's
the name.
It's good marketing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kids is genius.
Right. Kids are genius.
Nah. But yeah, that's how we stuck with it.
Yeah.
It clicked.
Yeah.
And now me and him are the only ones that actually do it that way.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
Yeah, yeah. It's just you two. But yeah. I like it because it does stand out.
Word.
And it makes you look at it. So now, how about like Facebook and how can they?
On my Facebook is just my regular name, Nigel Cruz. You know what I'm saying? It's me. I think I'm in a picture with my son. But yeah, it's me. And then on Snap, it's the same way, Nigel the BVR Barber.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if they want to get a cut, how can they get a hold of you or how does it work at Hemi's?
Right now, if you just call in and ask for Nigel the Barber, you call in and get me. Everybody answers the phone. So all you got to do is just ask, you know, for your specific barber. But yeah, just call into the shop, make an appointment. We all taking care of everybody. Anybody.
Anybody can get this. I like it. Cool. So now, like, before we close out, is there anything else you want to share with the listeners? I appreciate you coming in and like sharing your story, but like, is there any last minute tips, tricks, anything else you want to leave with the listeners?
Life, man, go get it. Wake up like it's your last. Hustle until you can't no more. grind until it stop, until it stops, until your heart stops ticking, keep going. And provide and always be alive. I mean, always be a vibe.
I like that.
Yeah.
Man, I appreciate it so much. I'm gonna close it out.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Thank you for having me. It's a awesome, beautiful thing, brother. Right here.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Nigel Cruz, a.k.a. Nigel the Barber, on the American Grown Podcast in the Color Tech Creative Solutions Studios. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, brother.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.